say some things.
Hello, testing. That's okay? Yeah. We may need to close the door. Thank you. Yes.
Dede
je jeva da jomba yanda va zobe sanje rwa da jabzo temba tevara jigde jomba jevo deve galo jova lana me. Lada menam je tumba sanje jomden de bejava shaja tuba. Chudo jazo je tumba jomden de dejen jeva jomba yandava zobe. Lada jazo demba devara jeva jiden. Kibun duve kalu jirva lana meva lada me. Tumba sanje chumden de pejava shaja tuba alajak chudu javzo che vanda chumden de deje java cha chumba yan zobe sanje riba da javzo denba devara java jiden jemba jebu kalu jirva lana meva lada menanje tumba sanje chumden de pejava Shaja Dhubha La Shaja Lo Chandu Jam So Che Hoi Gumbu Che Che Chambi Yang La Shaja Lo Kangi Lo Che Tengi Cheng Che Nyen Da Nam Da Rab Se Chini Tengu Che Che Se Che Nye Ge Tuga Le Gwa Man Se Kanda zebe tsura mare mendomo donye geze Chozo gula boje darze yela juju yande son Chodara che jo nyomo nilon lege cha jo choze che Mare mende donye nyogo chini chunze rete na Tene taje saju taze yenden lunzo yaze dove ko Chuda chuda chuni kende talu mes Jambe yala de omo arabazana Omo ara bazana Omo ara bazana Omo ara bazana di 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 Kata denju zhong lo doba yi lo zhi bo be na wa zhe do su. Ju zhi me do dhamma zhi ra le zhi nian de jian ba de san ji xin du mi de bu wa. Ju gun nam da xin du. Chabara joy Tamba ke namangi Chugu kala kenze tenze Chidara zambe dujan zema la Sabje chuje chaba abdus Rana mendala ga naya daya me ये चौदह सौ ये चौदह माला चांचु बादो ताने जासो ताके छुसे ये बे सोना मां ये डोला पेंजे सां चौबरा चौं ये चौदह सौ ये चौना चांचु बादो ताने जासो ये ताके छुसे ये बे सोना मां ये Drola penje sanje drobara sho. Chodan zonje jona la chanjo pado tane ja. Dage chuse jebe sonamange. Drola penje sanje drobara sho. Lada la me me da me anje umbo da anje jen la zon chuse chola chawa jeban. Sanje sumbara du je jende ve ju ju ba de da je je tambe ju ni je ne de je je namo la ye je da lu da ne je je ndu bon da da mi ye je na du wa gun je da na je zam ba tam je je du da ge ju dun do Okay. Good morning, once again. So how was your week? Any stories or any, parts where you are able to implement any of the techniques that we discuss? Jean?
I'd just like to say how grateful I am that the timing of this is so perfect for things that are happening in my life.
Okay, I'm glad.
I recently took in a woman who needed a place to stay for a month. Last Friday and Saturday, she has a sister who is dying. And I found coming here so unbelievably helpful that I could share what I've learned. And her sister passed away on Friday night. And it just feels like I am here today with four other engagements for the day. This was the farthest, but it was the most necessary for my life. So thank you.
Anyone? Yes.
I remembered your words to be aware and to use mindfulness to. So that we can avoid reacting. And that came up several times, and I found myself trying to be a little more aware.
Okay, that's good. Anyone? No pressure.
Well, this is not a big thing, but I had some patience to practice during the week. I was trying to arrange to get your teachings on the website so that and also to arrange to provide a way for online donations.
Mm-hmm.
I just could not get people together in order to get it done. And I just texting and emailing, and people were emailing and texting back and forth, and we couldn't get it done. And because this had been going on for a long time, I had to stop and take some breaths and remind myself that, oh, it's okay, it would happen in time. So at least part of it's done. So now we have audio on the website, and hopefully soon we'll even have video, thanks to Brian's recordings on the website. So it didn't matter that I was getting impatient. You know, things got done in their own time, and it was okay.
Okay, thank you.
Another one. It's not directly what you said, but everything you're saying is activating everything else that you know we've had, and have a long commute, so I was listening to 8 verses for training the mind, and so holiness the Dalai Lama, and there was one thing that really struck me, in that he was still doing the preliminary, and he talked about how we, you know, the value of perseverance. Because it's not like, you know, we're becoming mindful and boom, you know, it's like we sometimes we can become mindful, you know, and then we could get discouraged. And it's the value of just never giving up. It's one of his saying. I have it at home, never give up, and so on. And it's one of my passwords
okay.
at work, you know.
Okay. Now we know the password.
Yeah, but you don't know my word, so. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that's to me that is like, mm-hmm. you know, if we talked about the elephant, and it's like, it's our, you know, it takes a long time for the elephant to, you know, to become a certain way, and us to have a certain quality, because there's a lot of imprints. Otherwise, you know, so it's just, I think it's important to remember. I know for me, it was like, this is what I need to hear, you know, perseverance, don't give up.
Mm. Please.
I was just realizing how, it's so obvious, but how important all this is for everyone. It's a wonderful opportunity to rejoice.
Yes, definitely.
I have nothing to say, it doesn't matter. I can benefit rejoicing what everybody else is saying. It's all wonderful.
Mm. Yes, yes, that's true.
What you were saying the other week.
Yes, that's true, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So thank you very much. And I can see that you all are trying your best to integrate what little we learn into our daily life. That is the whole purpose. Yeah. Even if you have so much knowledge, you read a lot, but if you don't put them into practice, then yeah. What is the point? Yeah, so I can see that you are really trying your best. That's very good. That's very encouraging for me. Yeah. And Jean, would you like to have the chair instead?
Oh, no, no.
You
no,
are
no,
fine
no.
there?
I just need to sit. I can't go on my
okay.
knees. That's
okay, 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 okay. Yeah, I think we have brought in the chair, so I'm just wondering whether you feel more comfortable in the chair than the sofa. Okay, okay. Yeah, so to share with you this week, because we talked a lot about impermanence of death, I remembered quite a number of times. And then when you remember that, especially the time of death is uncertain, so somehow it propels you to do more practice. So I was able to recite more mantras while I am doing in the kitchen cooking. So I was doing my mantra recitation. So that was all thanks to you. Because of you, I had to read. And then, yeah, of course, it reminds me. So that's how we should, put into practice. And then, yeah, I think the best reminder is that storm Florence. Remember, we discussed in our one of the points, we have these 3 points, three reasons to back up the statement that our time of death is uncertain. So where it says that the causes of death are many. But you see what's happening in the world. We have earthquakes, we have typhoons, we have hurricanes, we have cyclones, all this. And then I was just that day, I forgot to mention about it. Even look at the foods. GMO, is it? Genetically modified. What does M
GMOs.
Stand for?
Genetically modified organisms.
Okay, yeah. Even the food is quite dangerous. They say, you should not eat GMO. Is it? I see that Ken doesn't agree to that. Yeah, so some of course, they said, it's not really good. Especially chicken or all this, they have all kind of injected all sorts of chemicals in there. Even the fruits. Some in India, it is very common, especially the watermelon. So they have some chemical to inject in there. And because you use the syringe, you won't really know that. They inject it there, it ripens so fast. And when you cut open, it is so red. But you can tell when you taste it, it's like, it's said funny. So these are food that were supposed to help us survive, sustain our body. But then, that can become a cause of our death. So when you really or deeply contemplate, it is very true that, you know, the causes of death are so many. And then medicine, of course, we talked about it. So the medicine, this is very good. And then after a few years later, they have to all ban that because it is so dangerous. It is found to have caused this and that. Yeah, So we should really remind ourselves. So this is not just to engender fear in you. This is, if you have this fear, the fear, I think I mentioned last week, the fear is not just fear of dying. The fear is that if I die, what will happen? I have not prepared. I'm not prepared. I don't have cultivated enough good karma to ascertain a good rebirth. So that is the fear. That is the fear that we should be, what do you call? That is what we should be fearing of, rather than just simply, you know, dying. So that, because if you have that kind of fear, then what will happen is it will result into really preparing for the future instead of, you know, committing our, what you call, all our energy in this life, just for this purpose, this life's purpose. So all these, we've in the first week we talked about reflection on the virtue of this life, this birth, and then we talk about the impermanence of death. All this is to help us to extract the essence. And of course, there are people have different view about what is the essence of life. But from the Buddhist point of view, we know that it is to practice Dharma. And then in our first talk, we discuss about what is Dharma. So I found a quote. So one of the students asks, Tomdomba is the main disciple of Lama Atisha. So asks, what is fine dividing line between Dharma and non-Dharma? And Tomdomba's answer is that it is Dharma if it becomes an antidote to delusions. It is not Dharma if it does not. If all worldly people do not agree with it, it is Dharma. If they do, it is not Dharma. So looking at this definition, so we can tell whether we are practicing Dharma or not. What we are doing, most of the things that we are engaging in, is not really an antidote to our delusions, like pursuit of materialism, chasing after money. That is actually you are nurturing the greed in you. And then because of that, there's jealousy, competitiveness, anger, hatred. So we are actually, instead of cultivating something to counter the delusions, we are kind of fueling those. We are providing the condition. We are nurturing all these delusions. So Dharma is something that counters all these delusions, all the mental afflictions. If you practice something that counters your anger, your jealousy, your attachment, your ignorance, then you can say that, yes, I am practicing Dharma. And then second part is very interesting. It says that if all worldly people do not agree with it, it is Dharma. If they do, it is not Dharma. So that is very true. All of us. We are all, what we are doing is all about this life. We are after money, we are after status, we are after fame, whatnot. So that's what everybody agrees. And people think that, oh, pursuing after money is the main goal. But people say, oh, God, people will not agree that, oh, going to the forest and doing meditation there is the, what do you call, it's a meaningful thing. That's why when Buddha when he achieved enlightenment. So in Tibetan words, it says, Sabshitra de vesit dumaji tuzitabu shushi tagini, sula tenya, kovar minube, mima tagi nesu, tagi usu, mima tagi usu, nevercha. Sorry, mima nagi usu, nevercha. So that is translated. You got it, Ken? It says, profound and peaceful, free from elaboratory, uncompounded clear light, I have found a nectar-like Dharma. Yet I were to teach it, no one would understand. So I shall remain silent here in the forest. Buddha did not teach soon after his enlightenment. Only when the god of the one of the realms, we call Tsangpa, I don't know what it's called in English. So he had to come and request Buddha to teach. And Buddha's reason is this. If I am going to teach, said nobody would understand. Because what Buddha has realized is completely opposite of what people are doing. So you will fall into, if you try to teach that, people may think that you have mental disorder, you are abnormal, because you deviated so much from the rest of the world. People are all focusing on this life. People think that fame is such a good thing. Status is so important. And here Buddha is saying that, no, these are not important. You should not. You should just let go. So that's why he said that, I'm not going to teach. People will not understand. So, then the question comes about letting go. So are you saying that, you know, we should not engage in any of this, we should not make money, we should not have cars, we should not have houses? But Buddha is saying that, yes, you can have all this, but let it go. So recently I come across a teaching by one of the great scholars. He gave a very good analogy. He says that if you are holding a glass of water, and if say somebody let it go, you don't have to break the glass. You don't have to smash the glass. You can gently put it down on the table. Yes, you let the glass go, but you did not destroy that. You did not throw away that. So likewise, we can have all this, but without what you call attachment to it. You can see that if you have a new car and an old car, when you get the first new one, let's say it's a Beamer. You got a Beamer and then you have an old car there. And what would you do? The Beamer covered everything. Every time you pass by, any scratch. Where the old car, you don't care. Even if there is a dent, oh, there's a dent. But if there is a dent on your new car, wow, you will be so disturbed. That is because that you have strong attachment to the new car. The old car, you have no much attachment. But you see, old car, you can still use it. You can still have it. It will still serve the purpose, getting you from one place to another. But that one, if anything happens to it, there is no strong grip on it. So if we are able to live that way without, you know, having strong grip on everything, that's so much easier for us. Much, much happier. So that's the whole point. And so meditation, today is meditation class. So that is one of the goals, meditation. Because we don't realize that we are having this strong grip on everything. We don't realize it. It has, we are habituated in this way that it has become our habit. and you don't see it as, what do you call, not normal. You think that it is normal, but it is not. So through meditation, you are able to see all this unfolding. You can see how all this attachment, anger, jealousy, how all this brings about unhappiness, dissatisfaction. So at the moment, we tend not to really observe the underlying, the process. So through meditation, if you are able to quieten your mind and if you are able to really look into it, then you will realize that, oh, after a while you were able to see the event. Let's say if you are having a irritating conversation and you get angry. At that moment, of course, you don't realize, but when you go back and kind of really analyze that or dissect that whole event or incident, you will be able to see that in a slow motion. Oh, this first started this thing, the person said this, I said this, and then this happened. And then you see that, oh, if I didn't do this, it could have stopped here. If I didn't respond in this way, it could have been prevented. So we normally don't do that. So that's where the term react comes from. Instead of responding, we react. So when we react, there's no choice. It becomes kind of a automatic or kind of reflex, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of reflex. So you have this thing, you do this. But when you are able to see this in the slow motion, then you are able to apply break where it is necessary. And then you can have the choice to respond in whatever way. If you still want to respond angrily, it's up to you, but you still have the choice. So that's what one of the purpose of meditation. And I thought to do an activity just to bring that point. It is called, I think I mentioned once, that it's called mental proliferation. So in psychology, they have done so much research on mindfulness meditation. So the mechanism of this mindfulness, how this mindfulness works, is that it is able to kind of cut the mental proliferation. So we are constantly met with all kinds of stimulations. We have these five senses, five faculties. So when you go there, here, they see this, all these things. So our senses are bombarded every minute with countless stimuli. But of course, there's a selection. It will select what one the senses want to focus on. So when we focus on something and when we kind of cognize that, and then together with that, there are what is called the tone of feeling, the pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, or neutral feeling. And that also, that even that feeling also, leads to other thoughts and then other feelings. So there is constantly a chain of thoughts happening. So we don't see that. So if we're able to see that, and then we'll be able to apply the break. So that's the purpose. I don't know whether this will work or not. We will just try. So we will do a role play. So one person will start. And then, you have to follow that thought and see where it comes to. Yeah? So let's say you can start, Jean can start. So let's say you are driving somewhere, you are going for a very important meeting, and then your car broke down. What would be your first thought? You say something else. You pretend that you are in this, and what would you say?
What would I say?
Yeah.
I'd probably say, oh, damn.
Mm. Okay. You can continue. Ken?
Okay.
Not Ken, are you?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm trying to remember your...
Check.
Okay. So we have to follow from there. So this happens.
That's right, yes.
You use that damn or whatever. Okay.
So, I will be late.
I will be late. Okay, now Diana. So you have to follow from there, yeah? Yeah. So you say, I will be late. I'm going to be late.
Oh, and my client's not going to be very happy with me.
Mm-hmm. Ken?
I have to deal with this and phone something somewhere and deal with it. Or else, hopefully, I can find a way to fix the car.
Oh, geez, how much does that happen?
Now, this makes a mess of the rest of my day. What happened after this? Everything else is going to be just all screwed up.
Okay, Brian?
Oh, so it's just like a sort of chain of a mess. So it's just like a chain of events. So the person has to call the tow or something?
Okay, you want to say that? No, you just have to follow. You are in the situation. What would you, after this, what would
no,
you
I'm
say?
No, I'm just saying, then, like, after
okay,
all
you want
this
to call.
Process,
okay.
Then you don't have the tire, right?
Uh-huh.
So then you have to call a tow or figure out how to fix it.
So you were saying, that, oh, I have to call the
or
tow.
Maybe.
Mm.
If you don't have a spare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can see that just one event leads to how many things. And it has even come to the result spoiling the whole day. You see, Ken's response is that, you know, and it's not personal, yeah, we're just rolling. So, yeah, it can lead to like this. Just one incident is like, oh, this is going to spoil, what was that? Spoil
it's
my
gonna,
whole day.
It's gonna screw up the whole day.
Screw up the whole day. You see? So from the beginning, when you, this happens, if you are aware of that, if you are mindful, oh, this happened, this, is there anything I can do about it? Yeah, I can call something. No point getting upset, no point getting angry. If you are able to remember that, then you see all this wouldn't have come, wouldn't have arisen, wouldn't have happened. You don't have to screw your whole day. You can still, you know, sort this out. You can go about your life, your day. So that's I'm trying to convey. Of course, you already have that this thing. But when you have this kind of activity, it becomes solid. Yeah, so that's the one of the points. And since you are all in the meditation class. Have you meditated before?
Yes.
Okay, good. So we can start meditation. 10:35, is that 32 or something? So on meditation days, normally I think we will see it won't be 1.5 hours. I don't think it will be 2 hours. Yeah, we will see because we don't want to meditate for too long, otherwise, yeah, it's too tiring. But if you are up to, please let me know. We can go on for hours and hours. So we will do two kinds of meditation. The first one is more like the stabilization meditation, the concentration meditation, which we will use the focusing on our breath, and then maybe after break we will do a short analytical meditation. Which is more helpful? Is it helpful if I give the instruction guide, you know, the one that I did last week, or is it better if you just want to do by your own? For me, I don't like to hear the instruction all the time. It's like I'm on this thing and then yes, the instructor is going on to saying this and this, it distracts me. So what would you prefer?
Maybe start with a short guided.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go
I will do the short one. I will do the normal one, and then I will leave a longer time, longer period of time for you to meditate. I will try not to interfere. Let's begin the meditation session by finding a relaxed, comfortable posture. If you are sitting on the floor, you could try to sit in the full lotus position with each foot resting on the opposite thigh. If you cannot sit in the full lotus posture, then the half lotus is sufficient. If you have difficulty sitting on the floor, you can sit on the chair or in whatever position that is most comfortable to you. Your spine should be straight like an arrow. Hold your head slightly bent forward so that it doesn't stand so high. Shoulders should be level and relaxed, neither slouching nor stiff and tense. Place your two hands in the meditation gesture with the right hand on top of the left hand, with your thumbs touching about the level of your navel. Alternatively, you can place your hands gently on your thigh with the tips of your finger resting on your knees. Let your mouth and teeth rest in a relaxed, natural position. The tip of your tongue should touch gently on your upper palate, just behind the teeth. Let your eyes relax. You could either keep them gently closed or gaze softly in front of you at an angle where, if you were to look, you would see the tip of your nose. Let's take three deep breaths. Each time, breathing all the way down into your belly as if you were filling up the torso with the in-breath from the bottom to the top. Breathe deeply in this way and feel your belly rise each time as the air fills in. When you exhale, let your breath out at a slow, measured pace. Again, draw in a deep breath, and as you release this second breath, feel your body filling with revitalizing oxygen, and as you release the second breath, feel your body relaxing. On the final deep breath, draw in all your attention into this moment and release your breath slowly and feel yourself drop into your body and into the present moment. Now bring your attention to the present moment by focusing on your breath. Choose a pace of breathing that is neither shallow nor deep, just natural. Now choose a focal point to anchor your awareness of the sensation of your breathing. Notice where you feel your breath in your body most prominent. It could be the tips of your nostrils, where you feel the subtle sensations as you breathe in and out, or your belly, where you feel the sensation of its rising and falling as you breathe. Once you have the focal point, just breathe in and out while resting your mind on that focal point. There is no need to think about the breath, nor control it. Simply allow your body to breathe in a naturally at its own pace, and experience each incoming and outgoing breath. As you do this, you might notice that your mind has wandered. You may start thinking about other things. When this happens, it is not a problem. It is very natural. Simply notice that your mind has wandered and gently bring it back to your breath. It is important not to judge yourself when this happens. Simply bring your awareness back to your breath and continue resting on it. If you are finding it difficult to hold your attention on your breath, you could try counting. You can try mentally counting your breath with each round of an inhalation and exhalation as one cycle. You breathe in, as you breathe out, mentally say one. You can count up to 10 and start over again. Another helpful technique is to place a hand on your belly to feel its rising and falling at every breath. Either of these techniques can be used to help you hold your attention on your breath for a longer period of time. If you find yourself feeling dull or sleepy, you might want to check your posture to ensure that your spine is upright. You can also open your eyes briefly to allow some light and then return to your breath. You can slowly open your eyes and maybe you can take 3 deep breaths. It's break time, I know. Okay, we'll talk about it after break, please. That's good.
Yeah, I think, and I have noticed in the past that people that I'm with, and particularly the teacher, has a big influence on my experience.
That's good, that's good. Any comments, any questions? Please feel free to.
I was very distracted, but it was distracted with other dharma. I was telling you last week I was starting the basic studies program.
I see. Yeah.
And I haven't had much time to study it. And so yeah. then I found when I sat down, then I was trying to go through definitions. So then
I can understand that. Especially, you know, when I was at Life University in Atlanta, when I was doing my master's, so every morning I do meditation. And so some days, like when I have assignment due, so let's say 2 or 3 days due there, oh, then those nearer the time the assignment is due, my meditation, yeah. I was trying to focus, but my mind kept going back to the assignment. Oh, I should write this, I should put this, I should put that, bring back, and keep going back. So sometimes the advice is that, you know, if your mind is all the time wandering, and despite your effort, it's still the same, then say stop. So meditation, just walk, and then come back and do. No point persisting or enduring that, because you're not going to gain anything, not going to achieve anything. Yeah, that's true. I can relate to that. Yeah. Anything else?
Sometimes my respiration is very slow, and sometimes it just stops. I don't know if you would call it apnea or not, but when you're following your breath and you're not really breathing, what you really is looking at is the fact that you're not breathing. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah. And I'm sure you all know, when we say, take deep breath, but when you breathe in, the tummy should come out, yeah? That was when I was in Portland, so I was trying to teach these kids to do meditation. First we started with, you know, how to take deep breath, and then they didn't know. So when they try to breathe in, to them it's like, tuck in. So I said, no, you should breathe in. So yeah, they really struggled. So that's important. If you know, then of course.
I thought that the breath gets, it's hard to discern it because it gets subtle, isn't it?
Remember, you are not supposed to think about your breath.
No, I'm saying now. Because after Ken's question.
Of course, when you get deep into meditation and you kind of relaxes. So when you relaxes, you know, there's parasympathetic nervous system and what was the other one?
Sympathetic
nervous system, parasympathetic nervous system. So parasympathetic nervous system kicks in, isn't it? That's when everything kind of slows down.
Yeah.
So when sympathetic nervous system is when the adrenaline kicks in, and then, you know, we become so active in all this. So yeah, meditation is kind of calms that system.
Yeah.
So I guess your breathing will also kind of become slower.
Yeah.
Good. Anything else? Yeah, so all this it's good to do meditation, of course, but the most important thing is to do after meditation. So I was just discussing with Jocelyn. So sorry, I'm very bad with this. Just let me tell you a story. I just remembered. So I went to this Mind and Life's Summer Research Institute. It's a 7-day program there. And so I got there, and then evening when we went for dinner, so I met this lady. She looked familiar. So hello and all this and this. And then she said, they were talking about, then she said that, I'm Marin. And she has come to fetch me at my university to bring me to their club, Buddhist club there, to give a talk. And I couldn't recognize her. So please excuse me if I don't remember your name and your face. Hmm. Yeah, what was I saying before that?
Meditation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, post-meditation. So we are discussing. For us, post-meditation is more important. Because in Lamrim and all this, it talks about, you know, the importance of post-meditation. So that is actually for those practitioners who do four or six sessions in a day, and their post session, the times of their post session is like 15 to 20 minutes. Even then, it stresses the importance on the post meditation session. And for us, our meditation session is 15 minutes, isn't it? Whereas post meditation session is like hours, 10 hours or. Mm. So that's why it's very important, because we spend most of time out of the session. So here we are trying to focus and be mindful. So we have to bring that mindfulness outside. I think since I remember, let me just tell. So there is an analogy that how we should live ethically. How should we live ethically? So the analogy is that imagine a criminal who is being kind of led to a place, and he has a jar full of oil filled up to the rim. Is it brim or rim? Yeah.
Brim.
Brim of that jar. And he is being watched by two guards with a sword. Mm. So he is walking. The minute he spills even a drop, these guards are going to slash you. So imagine how would that person will walk so mindful that he doesn't spill even a drop. So likewise, when we go out, we have to be, there are three things they said, is the heedfulness, and then mindfulness, and then introspective awareness. So we should be all the time watching our mind, remembering what we should be doing and what we should not be doing. And then at the back of your mind, our introspective awareness should be watching us, spying on us, whether we are remembering what we are supposed to do. So if you live that way, if you are able to spend your 24 hours, of course, we'll sleep, let's say 10 hours of your day, that would be wonderful. So that's important. That's important. Meditation is good. Please.
That's another analogy.
Mm.
Often, when I first heard this idea, you said about introspection and sort of keeping track of what you're doing and then spying on yourself.
Mm.
Struggled with that some to try to, that's kind of conscious sort of thing. Well, what does that mean? And I was in China once. Practicing my Chinese, it was very poor. I was talking with a group of people, and a young woman came and stood behind me, and she had been watching. And every once in a while, when I made a mistake, she would whisper in my ear the correct way of saying it. It was very uncommon for Chinese people to actually correct you, because it's not saving face, you know. And she was standing there. I don't think it's kind of like a little
I see.
You know, speaking,
yeah, yeah. So sometimes it helps. So now you know, yeah. You just remember, Chuck. So when you go out, yeah. And what else? Yeah. So if you are able to do that, then you will be able to recognize how our problems arise, yeah. And the first step we have already discussed is really to recognize the problem. Remember, we discussed that our our habit is to look out. Look out for something, look out externally to blame for our problems. We rarely look in to see what is the cause of our problem. And the reason, of course, from the psychology point of view, there's this self-justification. Whatever we do, we always justify our action. The reason is that we have this self-image that I am perfect. I'm not capable of making this kind of mistakes. I am a faultless person. I cannot make mistakes, you know. That kind of self-image there. And because of that, we keep justifying our actions. So as long as you keep justifying, so you won't be able to find the culprit. It always get kind of defended. So in psychology, there is something called cognitive dissonance. You're familiar with, yeah? Yeah. So the chapter begins with this. I like this. What do you call the anecdote kind of story there. So it says that a person is hypnotized, and then he was told that when the clock strikes four, you would walk out. First, you would put on raincoat. Yeah, it's a rain boot. You know the boots. Do you call rain boots?
Sure.
Yeah. And then you will, put on your raincoat with the umbrella, and you would walk out three blocks, and there is a supermarket there, and go and buy a bottle of wine. And then you will come back, walk back to the house. So he was hypnotized, and then as the clock strikes four, he put on the raincoat, holding, and went out, and then he came back. The moment he enters the room, so he was snapped out of the hypnotism. And then, of course, he found himself with a bottle of wine and all this. So, of course, the hypnotizer asked him, "Where did you go?" He said, "Oh, I went out to buy a bottle of wine." And then I said, "Why are you in this raincoat and boot? It's a sunny day." He said, "It may rain because I thought that, you know, there's no, the weather is unpredictable, you know, I just wore that." And then he said, "Where did you buy the wine?" So I bought the wine from the supermarket four blocks away. He said, why didn't you buy the wine at the wine shop, which is one block away? Why did you go all the way? I thought that since it's a sunny day, I thought that I'll just take a stroll. So that is to illustrate how we always come up with a justification. And that is because of cognitive dissonance. So cognitive dissonance is when you have these two opposing situations, which, I mean, on the one hand, you know, you want to be this way, but on the other hand, your action is something else. So you want to be a person who is incapable of making this kind of mistake. And then you see that your cognition, that you cognize that you have done something. So in order to reduce that, you will always justify. Of course, there's two ways. One way is just accept it, to reduce really. But another way is to justify your action so that you won't feel that badly. Your discomfort can be minimized. So when you think about it, we are doing that all the time. So as long as we are, this is kind of a denial. As long as we think that we are perfect, we are faultless, we are immaculate, is it?
Immaculate,
is it? Faultless.
Faultless.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, pick up these words. Vocabulary.
Immaculate.
Yeah. So that's the problem. So when we are ready to accept the fact that, you know, I may be not perfect. I may have made mistakes. Only then you will be able to really look in and see whether it is my problem, whether the problem lies within me or it is outside. So unless you do that, most of the time our problem is from within. And if you try to fix it, yeah, you may fix it temporarily, but the problem will remain there, always remain there. The root will be always there. And then, yeah, it will come up again and again. So that's important. So if you are able to practice mindfulness, yeah, then you will see that, oh, this happened this way, this happened. Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, like anger. So when you are mindful of your anger issue, or you believe that anger is not good, then when you are having conversation with others, I told you about my own experience, you can see that it is rising. When you see that, then there is an option. Either you can let it, you know, to full blossom, or you can just cool it down. So that is more like when you have more mindfulness, it is like putting out the spark before it gets what is called a forest fire. And when I was in school, I remember reading this story about spark neglected burns the house. It is a story about two families. The quarrel started with a very trivial matter, and then it became so bad. And eventually, yeah, they burned each other's house. So that's where the spark was neglected. So if we were mindful all the time, we will be able to kind of extinguish the spark when it comes about. Then we would be able to prevent the forest fire. So the second part, we are going to do analytical meditation, which is on the precious human rebirth, which we discussed a few weeks ago. So what we are going to do is, we will get into our meditation posture, and then we will begin with the three deep breaths, and then we will do a very brief concentration meditation, which is just to try to focus your mind on your breath. And then, yeah, I will just read the instruction and try to contemplate as I read. So I'm not going to guide this, so you do your own, and then when the time comes to do the analytical, I will read. Now contemplative on the following. From beginningless time, we have been going round and round the samsaric cycle, going up and down, and being born into all the different forms of existence. We are mostly used to the lower realms, but now it is as if by accident, but in reality, due to virtues cultivated in the past, we have gained this life that is conducive to Dharma practice, filled with positive potential and thus precious. Imagine what it would be like if we were born in the hell realm, an existence of intense torment, of extreme heat and extreme cold. In such an existence, the mind is overwhelmed by misery and pain, with no energy, no opportunity to practice Dharma. There is not a single moment free of torture. How fortunate we are not to be born in the hell realms. Remain in this state of rejoicing for a few minutes. Let's reflect how much suffering hungry ghosts undergo. They suffer terribly from unending hunger and thirst. Their mouths are completely dry, and their skin and flesh are withered. Despite their efforts, they cannot find anything to eat or drink. They are perpetually starved and dehydrated. Imagine how it is to be born as one of them. Fortunately, we have been spared of being born a hungry ghost. Instead, we have obtained this human life with access to food and water. Generate a strong sense of appreciation for what we have in this life and remain in this thought for as long as possible. How lucky we are not to be born as animals. Animals experience great misery. They cannot explain what they need. They are exploited for their bodies and labor. They live in constant fear of being eaten by larger animals. Imagine being born as a cow in a commercial dairy farm, where one is chained for long periods in narrow spaces. Imagine being born as a wild animal in the jungle, always in fear of predators. How fortunate that we have not been born as animals. In human existence, there are countless people on this world who have been born in and live in war-torn places, tormented day and night by terror, starvation, having no help from anywhere, not having a single moment of relief. How lucky we are not to have been born in such places. Instead, we have been born in a place where peace is the norm and resources are available. How fortunate for us to be born in such a place. Moreover, our faculties are intact. If we were born in deficient faculties, it could be difficult to understand normal speech, let alone comprehend Dharma teachings. How fortunate to be born with complete faculties. Let's reflect and give value to having this human rebirth. Right now, we have met Buddha Dharma and received teachings. We have some understanding on the causes of suffering and the methods to end it. We are able to distinguish between what is to be cultivated and what is to be abandoned. This human rebirth is our vehicle to liberation and enlightenment. It would be a great waste if we fritter this opportunity away, as the optimum human rebirth will be very difficult to obtain again. Now make a strong determination that from now onwards, we will try our best to commit some time and effort in Dharma practice. Doing so will help us to extract the essence of this life. Contemplate until a strong conviction or feeling arises. You can open your eyes. So this is how we do analytical meditation. Of course, we don't have time, so it depends on, you know, how long you want to spend on each point. So this, of course, this is my view. But you can bring in your own experience. So you have seen, let's say, the torture or animal. You might have seen something. So bring that in and put yourself in their shoes. And how would you feel? And we are fortunate that, you know, we are in that, not in their shoes. So you have to think from all the angles, reason out from all different angles and then have this conviction that yes, I am so fortunate. So when you are able to develop that kind of understanding at the conviction level, then yeah, you will not fritter your time away. You will really put effort because you now realize the value of your life, and you realize that using your this precious life on other things is really an act of insane person or a stupid person. So that is important. So that's how we do meditation. So when we use the combination of meditation, so what you do is, so we started with the stabilizing meditation, and then we do the analytical meditation. So at the end of each point, so you get this sense that, oh yes, I am so fortunate. So you have to try to remain in that state as long as possible. And then it is no longer there, and then you again, contemplate, reflect, analyze, and then try to get that state. And then you again remain in that. So that's how you alternate the stabilization meditation and analytical meditation. So this is just a sample. So you can go back and bring in your own experience and then elaborate on this. So any questions or comments? If not, we can.
I have a question.
Mm.
You know, till it's exhausted, so that means, it sounds to me that it means that, let's say, you're going into each point, and we could come back over and over and over on the same point until we're satisfied. Is that?
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. So the whole meditation, whole point of this meditation is to have this, gain this insight that, you know, yes, what I have achieved is a very precious one, and I don't want to waste it. I want to use it properly. So yeah, that is the goal.
Yeah, okay.
That is your destination, yeah. If no questions or comments, then Ken can start our dedication.
Let's begin with a mandala offering.
Yes, please. Chūshī mē dō tāma rērā līngshē nyēndē kēmbārdī Sāngjē shēndō mē dē bīwā yē chōgē nāmdā shē Būrā shō yē dā gūrū rānā mē dālā kānā yā tā yā mē Dīmchō rīmbō shē mā kē bānā kē yō shē Keba nyamba meba yang, kone kondo pewa sho. Kuze rabden che, namgara tenle cho cho geba ta. Loza tenbe dume sasumange, dove muze dadu ne gyuru che. Korwe shenga mzu, pendan dewa malu chungwe. Chinre sewa tenzin jazo ye, shabe sede pato ten gyuro che. Chidara kenpa tang kundu sambu teyang tejin, teda kwenje jezo talob che, gyawa deda tamje rabdo ngo. Gyawa tamje ge ngowa kala chodo ngapa te Tashin kewe tsawa digunja Sambo cheche rabdo ngowa ge Okay, thank you very much.